Welcome to The Peel, where we break through the surface of sustainability in Florida and get to the juicy stuff at the center of it all. I'm your host, Amber Whittle, Executive Director of South Bay Sarasota. We're a nonprofit that's increasing the resilience, affordability, and health of Florida's buildings and communities, and we're saving the planet along the way. Check out our programs and events at southbay.org, Sarasota. Our guest today is Ryan Folsky, manager on the carbon-free electricity team at RMI. Welcome, Ryan, and thanks for joining us on The Peel.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. I'm so glad to dig into this cool topic with you.
Exactly. Thank you. I know you're going to become a series. I think we've got three or four with you in the end. So thank you so much. We love green finance, and it's a very complicated issue. So we're very happy to have an expert who breaks it down for us.
There are a lot of layers to it, and I'm glad to help hopefully illuminate some of the nuance.
Exactly. So today we're going to talk about the Solar Together program that FPL does. So can you tell us about it?
Yeah, so I'm sure you and a lot of your fellow listeners have seen mailings or emails from FPL about their Solar Together program. And basically what it allows you to do is to subscribe for solar panels and get credits on your bill. And I think we're going to figure out how it works and if it makes sense for you to explore further.
Exactly. And it's not solar panels on your house or even in your community, like where you live in Babcock Ranch, right? Isn't it like utility level solar that they're putting out and you're helping support that development?
Exactly. Yeah. So you, for a fixed monthly charge, get a certain number of solar panels that may or may not be built near you, but will be built in FPL service territory. And then whatever power those panels produce, you are sort of selling to other customers. So you're sort of like an owner of a solar panel somewhere out in the state of Florida.
Interesting. So if you use less than your panels produce, then you can sell it back to other customers.
Basically, there's a great set of frequently asked questions on the FPL website, but the electrons delivered to your house might not be from solar. They might be from other things, but net, when you add up the power output from your panels, you're sort of doing that.
All right. But you don't, if your three panels overproduce, you don't get to sell any of it. So there's never any benefit, like any buyback benefit, the way there might be if you had solar panels on top of your house.
A little bit. Yes. I mean, whatever power your panels produce, you get compensated for. The main difference between this and panels on your house is you are still charged as a customer for the grid that you're using. So you're still paying for power to be delivered on the wires that we all drive by out in the world.
For solar together.
Mm-hmm. And that can be quite a big proportion of an electric bill that we all see. And if you have solar panels on your rooftop, you don't pay those charges for the energy because it's not being delivered.
You don't pay them at all, because I know that there's a minimum $25 charge every month from FPL. Isn't that for the grid, or is that just administrative?
That's partially for the grid, partially administrative. And then there's a variable component to that to ensure that heavier users of electricity pay a little bit more than lighter users of the grid to kind of allocate those cost bests.
Okay, so if you have rooftop solar, you are paying for part of the grid, but if you have solar together, you're paying the full cost of upkeeping the grid. Okay,
that's right.
And what's the difference, do you think, between those two things?
The difference can be pretty substantial. And FPL, again, has a good example of if you subscribe to the Solar Together program, they give you an example bill, but they do not give you a rooftop solar example bill, which is fascinating too. But the difference can be over $100 a month in their example goes to grid charges. And if you go rooftop solar using their same math, it's under $10 a month, ignoring that fixed charge or minimum charge. So it's, again, in round numbers, over $100 a month of fixed charges versus like you had said, $25 a month.
Well, see, so that just makes me want to have rooftop solar. So why would people choose to have solar together versus rooftop solar?
Solar together has no infrastructure on your roof. So if either you don't have a roof or your roof isn't suitable for solar, this is a way to get you access to solar power if that's something important to you. You don't have to take out a loan or pay for any upfront capital costs. It's just a monthly charge and credit on your bill. And the payback period is, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 years, depending on your assumptions and what you might think, which is comparable, I think, to rooftop solar's payback period, again, depending on a bunch of guesses.
So what's the payback period? Tell me what I understand what the payback period is for rooftop solar, because you're paying for the solar panels on your house, and hopefully eventually you'll start getting those for quote unquote free. How does the payback period, what are you paying back with Solar Together?
So Solar Together, the first component is you're buying that interest in a solar panel or set of solar panels. And that is a fixed charge based on how much you subscribe to. That does not change throughout the life of your membership in the program. And so that's a cost. In their example, that is about $47 a month, $45 to $47 a month. And then as you look at the other side of that, the power that's produced from those panels gets paid to you at a variable rate that goes up over time. And so in the early years, it doesn't quite cover the cost of you being in the program, but they estimate in year 3 or 4, that changes and you start to see a slight reduction in your bill.
Okay, so by 5 or 10 years, like you said, your bill should be less than when you started because you paid off your subscription.
That is when the upside becomes more than your subscription cost. You never pay off your subscription cost. That stays forever. Whereas rooftop solar, at some point, you'll pay off the loan if you took out a loan. And that there's a big jump in the economics of it.
Interesting. So why do you think FPL set up this model so different than like a combined cycle plant model?
I think it gives those customers who really want to have a clean power mix sooner the ability to do that. And, you know, for a slight upcharge every month, it's not that bad of a deal. You know, I've heard of friends in other states who pay, you know, $20 to $30 more a month for clean resources. And this is, you know, $2 to $5 more a month in the early years. And again, it becomes beneficial over time, unlike those other programs that are always a cost.
It sounds to me a little bit like when people talk about the green tax. That's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like we are paying because we want clean energy. We're willing to pay more instead of FPL investing like the way they might in a new nuclear plant or a new combined cycle plant.
I think that's a fair assessment. The flip side of that, though, is that we as regular consumers kind of can use FPL's size to our advantage. And they're taking a loan, aggregating all of these customers and able to secure lower rates than maybe you or I could potentially.
For the install, for the panel.
For the install, for the panels. Maybe it accelerates their progress. You know, maybe they don't need to go build a natural gas plant or something to meet power demands. They can use this program to build more solar panels faster.
Interesting. And so when you have rooftop solar, and I know this because at Florida House, we had rooftop solar. So I got to see the solar panel bill every single month. So we would sell it back and it would be we get about a third of the cost of what it would be for us to buy it off the grid. So if it's like 10 cents a kilowatt hour, we'd get 3 cents back. So when you sell back your solar, if you're not using it from your panels, are they giving market rate or are they giving the kind of like net metering rate?
It's more on the market rate side, and it's a fixed cost. They say starts at 3.5 cents per kilowatt hour. I was looking at my last bill, and this is where you did energy charges versus grid charges, but it was something like 9 cents a kilowatt hour.
That is closer because 3.5 is is the net metering rate. So do you have solar on your house, or are you talking about your like community solar?
I do not have solar in my house. This was what really intrigued me about doing this. And I think there's considerations on whether solar on your house can make sense for you versus this program. You know, we've all read and seen about the insurance crisis going on in the state, and whether the facts line up for rooftop solar being a pro for extending the life of roofs or not. The insurance companies don't always agree with kind of the facts there. And this is a way to kind of just sidestep that whole debate and still get access to solar.
Okay. And how does like being in Babcock Ranch, how does community solar fit in? Like how do you pay your bill?
My bill and bills of those residents in Babcock Ranch is the same as every other FPL customer. There happens to be a solar panel 2 miles up the road, or a solar farm 2 miles up the road that produces enough power for the town, but we get a regular FPL bill just like everybody else.
Interesting, because that's in a lot of ways the easiest way to do it, right? Because then you know that it's your whole community, and you're getting that that benefit, and you can see it.
Exactly, yeah. And this program is a way that I think I could go personally, or people in Babcock Ranch could go above 100% solar and kind of reduce the emissions across other customers outside of the area.
Exactly. So do you think that the Solar Together program, have you done any analysis to see if it's actually working the way they say it is, the 5 to 10 year payoff or the investment, et cetera?
It's a pretty new program. They are definitely building the solar panels at a pace fast enough to meet those that want to sign up. That for a while they had closed enrollment in the program, but I think it's been reopened and extended. I looked today and saw that I could sign up right now if I wanted to. So in that standpoint, yeah, I think they are scaling the program to meet and deliver actual physical solar panels for users. Whether it makes sense to sign up is up to you individually. If you think it's worth the upfront cost in the early years, and if you're going to be either in Florida long enough to benefit from it, or you think it's worth the cost, or the one question I'm holding that isn't answered is what happens if you sign up for the program and then also or additionally choose to put rooftop solar on your house? Can you double dip essentially?
Interesting. Like if you undersize it so that you can still have anything extra would be coming off the utility scale solar.
Yeah, maybe that's what I. In the terms and conditions, perhaps there is enlightenment on that. But, you know, if rooftop solar doesn't make sense for you, if you're a renter or living in a sort of arrangement like a condo building or a townhome that doesn't have the ability to put rooftop solar, you know, maybe it makes sense.
Can your subscription go with you? So if you are in an apartment and you move apartments, does your subscription and your time to pay off move with you?
Yeah, that's a great feature of the program. You can change the size. So if you begin to use more energy, if you buy an electric car and your electric bill goes up, once a year you're allowed to change how much solar you subscribe to. And it can be moved address to address within their service territory.
Nice. And so I guess my final question is, I know that TECO at one point was saying that they have about 15 to 18% of their power is generated by solar power. Do you know how much it is for FPL?
That is a great question. I do have that answer. They claim that in 2025, 46% will be renewables and storage. So that could include wind, but it's very small.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's impressive. That's a lot more than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, FPL has been a leader in reducing their emissions and installing solar, and both at the FPL, the utility that we all know, and the parent company of the utility, they are the largest developer of renewables in the United States.
Are they that Next Era?
That's Next Era. They have a Their renewable development firm is called Next Era Energy Resources. And they have solar farms all over the country.
Well, maybe this program is successful just in helping them get to that target.
Yeah, this program is FPL specifically, but it helps, again, they're able to finance more solar panels, and in finance, bigger always, almost always yields lower costs. And those lower costs get passed on to customers of all stripes, whether they sign up for the program or not, which is a great benefit just for the program to exist.
So I guess I have another question. One of the other arguments about these utility scale solar projects is that a lot of like the ranch lands out in the middle of the state are being turned into solar farms. And so that hurts wildlife as one example, but also, of course, the agricultural community. Does it say anything about how many acres by 2025 they'll be using for this?
You know, that's a great question. I haven't heard that. Specifically, I don't know the numbers, but I will say that there are across the country different ways that solar has been a plus to farming and agriculture, where you can use certain animals to help mow the grass, if you will, around the panels. That can be a symbiotic relationship with these resources. And so there's perhaps some negatives to covering certain lands, but there's also pros that can open up the land. It's not a zero sum game all the time.
Yeah. Tico uses sheep. They have like a contractor who brings in sheep to mow around the panels.
I have a friend in Illinois who has a business doing that. He delivers his sheep to solar farms. They get to eat. He gets paid. His animals eat for free, and he gets to everybody wins in that scenario.
Yeah. It is fun. All right. Thank you, Ryan. And thanks for listening to The Peel. To get involved with South Bay Sarasota, visit southbay.org/Sarasota. Until next time, stay sunny.